Simply Authentic is the podcast where realtors and referral partners get the conversations they actually want to hear. I'm Crystal Forbes with Great American Title, a family-owned and operated title company with over 30 years serving the real estate community. We provide title and escrow services for both Missouri and Kansas with locations throughout Southwest Missouri. We focus on providing exceptional customer service and trustworthy, reliable title insurance coverage. Our relationships with other industry professionals are why we are able to make dreams come true one closing at a time. Great American Title is proud to sponsor the Simply Authentic podcast, bringing the most relevant, real, and sometimes challenging conversations that help all of us get better. Tune in, subscribe, and let's keep this industry moving forward together. Simply Authentic, recorded at the Gershman Mortgage Studios, available wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast with Angie and Tanya. We are real estate pros, entrepreneurs, leadership gurus, and community enthusiasts. Our passion is sharing our experiences to enrich the lives of others. We hope to inspire you to live authentically. Welcome back to the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we have a guest in studio today. He is the CEO of Aulis Akers Arney Insurance and Business Advisors. It used to be just Aulis. So
that's
I had
right.
to get all my words in there.
I know. I have Aulis. Trouble with that too.
Well, Richard Aulis is here with us, and we're very excited. We've got a big topic today. It's insurance. And so we're going to dig into this and have Richard tell us a little bit about what's going on in the industry so that we can all understand it a little better.
Yeah.
So
welcome, Richard.
Yeah,
thank
welcome.
You.
Glad you're here.
It's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. A lot of our listeners may not know who you are and what you do and how you got here.
I'll try to make it brief, but I grew up here in Springfield.
Okay.
I grew up on the north side, went to Boyd, Pipkin, and Central. Okay. And so my family had a business, Aulis & Company, mm-hmm. up on Commercial Street for 90 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So my great-grandfather came to Springfield in 1885, and we founded our company. And we were up on Commercial Street for 90 years, and now we've been on Sunshine Street for 50. And so...
Wow.
We're celebrating 140 years this year.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I haven't been there for all of it, Tanya. Yeah.
Thank goodness, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you had no choice then but to go into insurance,
you know,
right?
I took a little detour when I was growing up. I kind of lost my way in high school, and I went in or enlisted in the Navy. And wow. so I spent... Okay. 4 years on the aircraft carrier John F. Kennedy, okay. and then I came back and went to school, at that time SMS, mm-hmm. and then found my way back to the family business. Yeah. And so it's been a great ride.
Yeah.
Well, thank
yeah.
you for your service.
Well, yes. thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was, you know, I think that I served the Navy and the Navy served me as well. I'm not sure I'd be here with you today without the Navy.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into the topic of insurance.
Sure.
And in mine and Angie's industry in real estate, we see firsthand homeowners insurance. And we don't know a lot about, or maybe we don't know as much about the tragic, you know, stories across America mm-hmm. with hurricanes and fires and just turmoil that our weather ends up leaving us in. So we'll get into that as well.
Sure.
So Richard, tell us from your perspective how insurance is changing and how it has changed. Because in the last few years, we felt it in our industry. I'm certain it's probably been longer than that for you.
It has. In fact, we are in the longest, what we call in the industry, hard market in history. What that means is that pricing is going up and terms and conditions of insurance policies are being screwed down or narrowed, right? Mm-hmm. And now we're starting to see some relief, meaning that pricing is now kind of reaching the crest, with one exception, and that's homeowners and personal insurance. Mm-hmm. It typically lags commercial insurance a year to 18 months. And so we'll likely start seeing that in a year. But I'm not saying that prices are going down. I'm just saying that they're starting to moderate. And terms and conditions, and we'll talk about that, are still very prevalent in the market. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, this volatile weather that we've been having, coupled with the reconstruction costs of homes and particularly roofs, are driving a lot of this.
So if you're seeing it start to plateau, what is the biggest obstacle? Is it covering the roofs? Is it
the roofs are a really big deal right now, and I give you a few examples.
Okay.
We only have we're a broker, right? So we represent many carriers.
Yes.
We only have one carrier that will even consider writing a shake roof.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Shake roofs are a no-no.
Thing of the past.
Bad idea to start with.
In today, they look beautiful.
Yeah. Right.
They're a beautiful looking roof, but they're difficult. Also, even something as simple as asphalt shingles. Hmm. You know, what type of, are they architectural in nature? And so they're really even drilling down to what type of asphalt shingles are you putting on that roof?
Wow.
So it's roofs are a real issue.
Well, and we probably see that more than anything in our industry. Mm-hmm. So something that I have started telling all of my clients, and that Angie and I both experience, really, that we didn't seem to used to, is that a 15-year-old roof, so you put a new roof on, it says it's going to last, it's a 30-year shingle, so everybody thinks, well, that's going to last me 30 years. Around here, we have too many storms for anything to last 30 years, unless you're just real lucky. But what is the year that insurance is looking at, that it's really not, we can't replace that 100% any longer?
So there are some companies, not all, in the marketplace now that will determine the age of the roof, and after a period of time, typically between 10 and 15 years, they will then start to depreciate the value of the roof, meaning you're not going to get full replacement in the event that you have hail or storm damage. And if you think about it, you know, just from a common sense perspective, it probably makes some sense. In other words, if my roof is really, you know, 25 years old and on the last leg of its life, should I really get a brand spanking new roof because a hailstorm just happens to come through? Now, if the policy is written that way, then the answer is yes, you should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And so I want to be clear about that. I think it's an industry issue that the industry needs to solve. And so here's what we're seeing. Instead of maybe addressing it through the age of the roof, which some have, many are doing it through deductibles now. And so instead of the traditional $500 or $1,000 deductible, they're saying, oh, yeah, but wind and hail is going to be this type of deductible. Mm-hmm. Maybe not $10,000, $20,000, may even be a percentage deductible. Mm-hmm. And here's the key. It's not a percentage of the loss. It's a percentage of the value of the home.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where people get confused. They say, well, I've got a, pick a number, $50,000 loss, so it's 2% of that. No, it's not. It's 2% of the value of the home.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're seeing the roof issue is an issue, and particularly, I know we're talking about homeowners, but if you have rental property or apartment buildings or condos, boy, those are becoming a real issue with roofs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we've had to change our talk track with our clients, right? Actually, our contracts changed. I have been in this industry for 30 years, and never really talked to my clients about insurance until just the last few years. Mm-hmm. And now when we're out looking at homes, I'm looking at the age of the roof, and I am telling my clients, you need to talk to your insurance provider before you even write an offer on this. Because if it's 15, whatever that magic number is that we're starting to get right on the cusp of what are you going to get back for that roof, I say you need to contact your insurance agent. And they, some of them look at me like, why would I do that? Like they're not, it takes a while for people to get up to speed on what's happening in any particular industry, whether it be buying homes or buying insurance, because they don't deal with that every day. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the talk track that I'm using now is advising them to talk to their provider sooner than later.
Well, I think you're doing the absolute right thing in doing that. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned before we came on the air, the type of roof is being scrutinized more and more. We talked about shake, but even asphalt shingles and the type of asphalt shingle it is. Obviously, the age of the roof is a real issue. Mm-hmm. And so roofs are a significant issue. And frankly, you're doing your client a real service by talking about that up front. Yeah.
Are there homes that you won't even insure if a roof is over? I guess I should ask this a different way. Are there homes that you won't insure because of certain things like age of the roof or other
things? Yes, there are. So what typically happens is the insurance carrier will go out and inspect the home. We actually circumvent that by getting the age of the roof before we even move forward. So mm-hmm. we can work through this up front. The worst thing you can do, in my opinion, is you do the deal, right? You mm-hmm. buy the home, mm-hmm. and then your insurance comes or insurance company inspects it after the fact, and then oh no. The roof's 20 years old. They're not going to insure it unless you put on a new roof. Mm-hmm. And that's unexpected for the client, mm-hmm. right. your client and the insurance mm-hmm. company's mm-hmm. client, right. and it ends up being a bad day for everybody. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what has changed the most is we sometimes can't get coverage for our client. You know, mm-hmm. they might check a couple of places. If you have a 18-year-old roof and there's some flat out, no, we can't insure that. Mm-hmm. So then you're stuck with, okay, well, who will? And there's always, you know, you can find somebody that's going to insure it, but it's a big education for our clients.
It is a big education. And I would even go on to say that, you know, typically that insurance company that is going to insure that 18 or 20-year-old roof, probably not the best carrier. I'm not, you know, we're not talking about anything sure. specific. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, you know, are you truly, and we're big about this, are you truly managing your personal insurance program to the best of your ability? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. You know, now, again, nobody really wants to put on a new roof, but there may be things that you can do, and we'll talk about those, such as cutting the trees back from the home or other things that can help with not only insuring it, but help create a longer lifetime for that roof.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about those things. So what you're saying is that the insurance industry is starting to maybe give advice on the front end to mitigate problems on the back end. And what are those?
Yeah, so a couple that just really come to mind is, again, cutting debris and trees away from the roof structure, yeah. right? I shouldn't say easy, but that's a one that you can identify pretty quickly. Secondly, is trying to repair any damage that you've got up there. There may be a little spot or a corner or at the gable of the roof that you need to repair. So that would be another one. Although we're not in a wildfire prone area, we do have second homes that we insure that are, and getting all the debris away from the home and making sure, right, that to the best of your ability that you're protecting that house. New gutters that are properly fit, and you know, sometimes when gutters are put on, they're not the right kind or the right size for the type of roof. Mm-hmm. And so there are several things that you can do proactively that help with the roof, the lifetime of the roof, and frankly, the insurability of the roof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I put new gutters on my own house a few years back. It's probably been, 4 or 5 now. But it would never have occurred to me that I should check with my insurance to get any tips ahead of time, right? I was just mm-hmm. taking the gutter guy as the professional, and I knew I needed the larger gauge gutters because I was having some issues. But that's a good point to make, that we often, you know, get ready to put something on new and we're not really thinking about our insurer or their opinion.
Right. You know, one thing I might mention that I think is a good tip, and you brought it up, is working with your insurance agent to not only get tips, but frankly, in time of a claim, and I think we're going to talk about this, it is that really your roofer and insurance agent should be working together. Mm-hmm. And so many times they come in and get at odds with one another, right? And I'm not blaming anybody, but what I am saying is that they should be working together to on behalf of the client.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah. You've been at this a long time. Are you training your new people to have a different conversation with people? You know, I have first-time homebuyers. I will talk to them about insurance, and I'll say, do you have an insurance provider? And they'll say, well, my vehicle's insured with, and mom and dad have always used, and I'm trying to get them to have conversations about what kind of coverage they're getting. It's different than insuring a car, right? That's a little different than insuring the biggest purchase you're going to make. And you've got to make sure that you've got the right relationship with that provider and that you feel comfortable with them. So I'm having a different conversation with my clients. I assume you're training people differently as well.
Yeah, Angie, you're speaking my language here. I will say this. I think a couple of things. One, although we find that many people don't really like to do this, they don't like insurance, right? But it is so beneficial to go sit down with your insurance agent face to face and really talk through what you have and frankly gain a better understanding both ways about what we're doing and what we're insuring. And so I would find someone that is willing to sit down with you, discuss your home, your auto, your future plans, right? And really it's kind of like planning, right? It is planning. Mm-hmm. You sit down and you kind of develop a plan. It, you know, obviously, if you're a high net worth person, that plan is going to be significant. Mm-hmm. And if you're a first time home buyer, but it's still a map. Mm-hmm. It's still a map, and it's still a conversation, so that everyone is on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you pointed out like that, because I don't think that I've ever had that perspective necessarily in thinking that this is a partner of mine that I've got to plan my future with, right? You're just, hey, I need some insurance on this house I bought, right? But I love that perspective.
A good insurance agent is just like a CPA or an attorney or a great realtor,
right?
Yep. They're a partner in this. And really is someone that you should know. In fact, we do a lot of high net worth kind of work, and so those folks are more likely to come in. But we will not even if you call for a quote, we're not going to do that, right? If you want to come in and sit down with us and go through your portfolio, so that we can get to know you and you can understand what we're trying to do. You know, obviously that's our ideal client.
Kind
of the same in our industry. We used to be, you call us up and you want to go see a house, sure, we'll pop in the car and go. Right. But now we're trying to get people to come in and understand just like you, we're trying to help them plan for the future. We're trying to help them make good decisions and build that relationship, because we don't want to sell it's not just a transaction to us.
Absolutely.
We really want to build that relationship with our clients so that we can help them make good decisions throughout their lifetime. So yeah. Is it a good time for a break?
It is. Okay. Let's take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Great leadership isn't about a title. It's about influence, impact, and the ability to navigate change with confidence. Many leaders struggle to communicate their vision, inspire their teams, and make strategic decisions that drive results. Without the right tools, performance and progress can stall. That's where iCHEM help. I'm Angie Mullings. With decades of experience, I can deliver a dynamic keynote and conduct hands-on workshops that equip leaders to lead authentically and create lasting impact. Ready to invest in a more engaged and high-performing team? Reach out today to schedule a consultation.
And we're back with Richard Aulis today, insurance guru. Mm-hmm. So, Richard, I'm going to tell you about a little situation I have going right now, and I've never done this before, so maybe you can give your opinion.
Sure.
So, long story short, I had a roof that I made a claim on a rental property last year with my insurance company, and they covered a tiny bit of a new roof while a big storm had come through the whole neighborhood and everybody was getting new roofs. And I talked to several of them and insurance covered it and et cetera. Well, I fought the first little bitty check I got, and to no avail, nothing else happened. They wouldn't cover anymore. So fast forward to this year, my personal home, there's been new roofs put on right around me, within a stone's throw of me. And I know they're roof claims or storm claims. So I had a roofer come out to my own house and take a look. And I'm not trying to skew them one way or the other, but I just said, there's roofs being replaced. And he had replaced one of them for a client of mine. And I said, look at my roof and tell me if I have damage enough to make a claim. Well, he said I did. And his suggestion was that I hire a third party. And so I did. And essentially what that means to me is that this third party will fight for me getting a roof claim or a new roof on my behalf instead of me having to call them and go at it with them like I did last year. So I thought, well, what the heck? I didn't win last year. Let's see if I can make a difference hiring a third party. So what do you know about that? And is that a right way to go? And why?
So a couple of things. One, it certainly is a valid way to go. But I'm going to walk through a series of steps that we typically recommend. One is, again, the roofer should really become a partner with the insurance company,
yeah,
and agent for that matter, and try to work through it. And we would advise to do that first.
Okay.
So I will say, although, again, it could be very valid to move forward in that way, I would be a little suspicious when that's the first thing out of the roofer's mouth,
okay,
right? That, hey, before I even get a hold of your insurance company and try to work through this, I'm going to recommend that you hire a third party,
yeah,
to fight this out. Now, again, I'm not saying that it might not get there.
Yeah.
And sometimes third parties are necessary in order to get things accomplished.
Okay.
And so I guess I'd just say, if you have a good agent and a good insurance company, work with them first.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up where you just can't come to an agreement, I think a third party is valid and sometimes is necessary. We're an independent broker. We represent many insurance carriers. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that we have canceled our contract with carriers before if they are not a good payer of claims.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that doesn't mean we never have claims issues, because we have a claims department that works through these issues all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have a carrier that is just going to continually be a hassle for our clients, right? That's just no good. But so, so third parties are valid.
Okay.
First step we would recommend is trying to work through it with your insurance carrier first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good tip.
This third party thing is something I'd never heard of. Is that something that's been around for a long time, or is it something that's just surfaced because of the issues we've been having?
It's something that's been around for a long time. It did start in the commercial area. So if you've got a big commercial property or something like that, right, these third parties will come in and help you navigate that claims process. I would say that a good insurance agent will also help you do that as well. Now, that doesn't mean that that you never reach a point. Sometimes, and we've been there, where we're actually recommending.
Right.
Now, that doesn't happen very often, because we've got a superstar over at our agency that can work through just about anything. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, sometimes it does come to that.
Mm-hmm.
Started in commercial, now because of all the volatile weather, it's now starting to get into the personal. And again, I'm not knocking the roofer. I don't even know who it is, and we're not going to mention their name.
No.
But when it's the first thing out of their mouth, I'm thinking, you know, why is this roofer not working with the insurance carrier on behalf of their client to do their very best? And there are a wide variety of good roofers in our community.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
What's up?
Sure. Richard, when I have conversations with people about insurance, my friend group, whatever, we had this issue, we had that issue. It seems that even in my particular situation, I had an insurance agent who got out of the business and somebody bought their book of business. I've never met this person.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, luckily I haven't needed them. But it's coming due. I'm going to have to make a decision here in a couple of months about whether I stay or whether I go. Again, I'm in a relationship business, and that does not bode well for the person who has my insurance, because I think they should have reached out to me immediately, introduced themselves, and that kind of thing. But I find, just listening to other people, I think that's a common problem.
Unfortunately, we've heard that many, many times, and I think, to your point, it is a common problem. I believe there is a vast difference in someone that is a vendor and someone that is a trusted advisor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, someone that has not reached out, right, and is not proactively doing that is a transactional vendor, is not a long-term consultative trusted advisor. Now, on the other side of things, what I might recommend, again, is just being proactive and reaching out to them and say, hey, I'd like to come in and sit down. I'd like to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you're kind of interviewing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're interviewing them to see if this is going to be my partner. Mm-hmm. Because as we talked about earlier, I think an insurance advisor is just as much as of a partner as a great attorney, a great CPA, or a great real estate professional, right?
Agreed. Yeah.
And not all are created equal.
No. Mm-hmm.
I will step out on a limb. Somebody that is new to the business, that is taking over a book of business from somebody that retired, sometimes has not developed the skills necessary to be a good trusted advisor.
Yeah.
Maybe they will.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, I've certainly learned a lot.
Yes.
I'm sure you have.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Still learning every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that in mind, in terms of realtors, is there anything that you would advise realtors to do to sort of make that a good experience for their clients? Is there something that we should be saying? I know we've kind of talked about what Tanya and I talked about with our clients, but is there any advice you would give realtors?
Yeah, a couple of things. And one, by the way, I think you're doing a lot of it, is one, recommending, here's what I always say. Hey, look, if somebody's calling us after they do something, major, mm-hmm. buy a home, whatever, and saying, hey, I just bought this home. It's got a shake roof on it. We talked about that, right? Right. And mm-hmm. and all of this, we're frankly a vendor.
Mm-hmm.
They ought to be calling us before yeah. and say, hey, I'm thinking about buying this home. So basically, as a realtor, doing just what you're doing, advising your client, hey, let's get a hold of your insurance agent and talk about this home we're getting ready to buy here mm-hmm. and making mm-hmm. sure that everything will be in order so we don't have any problems, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
That would be good. Secondly, just like I know you do, is developing some relationships in the community with professional insurance agents. Mm-hmm. And that way, if you run into issues, right, you can make a referral to someone you at least know is going to roll up their sleeves, yeah. sit down and talk with that person, and try their best to try to help them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so those are a couple of things. And then lastly, educate yourself on a couple of basics. One, roof construction, which we already talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, and you already brought this up, age of roof, mm-hmm. right? That's an issue. Mm-hmm. And then I would say kind of general housekeeping and, hey, has the electrical been updated in an older home, right? Has the plumbing been updated? We've talked a little bit off air about water shutoff, automatic water shutoff valves, right?
Mm-hmm.
That can be an important thing. Alarm systems mm-hmm. are another positive thing. And mm-hmm. so just some basic education, not nitty gritty, but just some basic education so you know kind of what to look out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great.
Does a true alarm system measure equally with video cameras, Ring cameras? Maybe you have four cameras set up outside of your home and inside, but you don't have the equipment to have the alarm system.
Yeah,
how do those compare in your world?
Yeah, the credit really is to the central alarm system
okay.
that is connected okay. with a firm. With,
okay.
It's a monitor.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean that a Ring camera can't be useful.
Sure.
It just means that you're not going to get the credit for it
okay.
on the insurance policy.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of other things to talk to you about, but one last thing on insurance. You mentioned earlier that you're starting to see things plateau, that you, especially on the commercial side.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else in Richard Aulis's crystal ball, because we know you all have, we all know you have one, right, that you can see coming down the pike that we should know about with regard to insurance?
Yeah, I'm going to get up on my soapbox here for
okay,
just a
okay.
second.
You do
so,
that.
So the state of Missouri is the eighth worst state to do business in from a legal perspective in the United States.
Wow. Mm.
What that means is our legal system and the rules associated with it are outdated and favor plaintiff's attorneys and large judgments. Now, no one is against someone that is injured or has an issue getting a settlement, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
However, these types of things have gotten out of control. And so one of the issues with insurance costs in the state of Missouri is legal and the liability portion of the insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we look out onto the horizon, one of the things, Georgia just implemented what they call tort reform, where they basically make the rules a little more fair. And here's the thing, people say, the poor insurance industry. The insurance industry is just a pooling mechanism, right? And so really it's the client, it's the consumer that are paying higher costs.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That because our legal system is not fair and equitable in the state mm-hmm. of Missouri. So I'll say that
wow.
as we look
okay.
out into the horizon, but A couple of more things. Obviously, I don't know what the weather is going to do, but I think we're going to continue to experience some volatile weather. Mm-hmm. And so doing all that we can, whether it be water shutoff, alarm systems, we talked about roofs and making sure they're in good repair, et cetera. Just general housekeeping, making mm-hmm. sure things are in proper working order. Those types of things will help folks as we move forward. And then in the commercial area, and I know we're not talking about that here today, but having a planning process where you're improving your business on a regular basis, same thing really applies personally. It's just a smaller level of due diligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
That's great advice.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Really is.
So one other reason we wanted to have you on the podcast is that you are truly dedicated to this community. You grew up here, your business, your family's had a business here for a long time. And knowing what dedication you've had to the community with regard to several things, but we wanted to talk about Restore SGF specifically. A lot of our listeners may not understand what that program is. If you could tell them a little bit about what that program is and then why you became such a champion.
Yeah, so thank you. And you're right. Restore SGF is a passion not only of mine but of many in the community. So I grew up over on the north side, up right around Commercial Street. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful area to grow up in. And since I grew up in the 70s, that area, unfortunately, has each decade has gone more and more rental. Now, I'm not against rentals, mm-hmm. right? But if you have a neighborhood of rentals and a neighborhood of homeowners, mm-hmm. which one is going to be...
Might look different.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the reason this all came about is, as you might know, I was on city council for 6 years. And this is still an issue, these nuisance properties mm-hmm. that are plaguing some areas of our community, meaning trash everywhere, weeds, homes in disrepair, sometimes vacant, some of them falling down and dangerous, you know, depending on what kind of condition they're in. And what many of us discovered that started Restore SGF is, one, we can't just fine people into submission, right?
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And so what we really need is capital reinvestment in these neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And so then we started looking at some of the stats. Did you know that literally 60% of all housing units in the city of Springfield are rentals?
Mm-hmm. That's a big number.
Think about that.
Yeah.
It's a huge number. I didn't realize that.
We are number one in the state of Missouri, but we're one of the top rental markets in the entire United States.
Wow.
Now, again, I'm not necessarily against rentals. Mm. However, they ought to be safe, clean, and effective for people. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we started looking at that stat. We started realizing this. And so we got together and decided we're going to look for best practices. And we found Des Moines, Iowa, and an effort up there called Invest DSM. So we took a road trip, 2 days. We studied what they were doing, and we brought it back here. And I don't want to say copied it, because Springfield's different from Des Moines, but we have a lot of the same characteristics. It's a Midwest town. Mm-hmm. They had tried, and largely successfully, redeveloped their downtown as we've tried to do with ours. Mm-hmm. But then they realized the housing was not coming up with it. So we have patterned it after Invest DSM. Home ownership and rehabilitation of housing. At its core, that's what we do. Mm. So we're super excited. We've been in business 2 years now. We have, and this will be great for realtors, we have a down payment assistance program, $9,000. It's a it's a grant, essentially. Mm-hmm. You just have to live in the home for 5 years, mm-hmm. and you don't have to pay it back.
Yeah.
We have matching money for exterior improvements, mm-hmm. so up to $2,500. And so we have people that are investing tens of thousands of dollars just to get the $2,500. It's kind of just that little push that they needed to redo the exterior of their home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it also, because you have to form a team, it connects neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We have a seniors program where you can have up to $5,000 of matching money to redo interior improvements mm-hmm. for aging in place.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with area banks as well as the city, and just really excited about this. We have five neighborhoods. What we learned in Des Moines is you cannot do onesies and twosies all across the community.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start building momentum
mm-hmm.
in a particular area.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
Woodland Heights mm-hmm. is our star performer mm-hmm. up north of Commercial mm-hmm. Street. They are, I mean, it's incredible what's happening up in that neighborhood. Our second best performer is Grant Beach,
mm-hmm.
Just west of Grant there. Fast Night neighborhood is starting to come forward. Mm-hmm. And then we have Doling and Metter. They've been a little slower to develop,
mm-hmm.
but we're really excited about some of the momentum. We've placed about 70 new homeowners in those neighborhoods.
Wow, in 2 years, that's
in
amazing.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
And those are all first-time home owners.
Yeah.
70% of them used to be rentals.
Okay.
So that's good. Another good
yes.
stat.
Yeah.
And so, again, just excited and... And I'm sure we've been to other communities where we've seen an area of town that has been redeveloped and these nice, they're smaller homes, but they're nice,
right.
neatly kept.
Mm-hmm.
You have young families moving in
yeah.
And those types of things. And so we're really excited about the prospects of this and frankly what it can do for the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got to be a part of one of those homeowners
oh,
last year.
Terrific.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't set out just looking in those neighborhoods, but we knew that because of her price point, and she was a first-time buyer, that that program would be very, very beneficial to her. And so I think the more we looked, the more we started focusing in on those neighborhoods, and she ended up buying in one of them. And I mean, I just think that a program like that for a first-time buyer realizing home ownership for the first time, and this is a young person, but also that the community around her could be the same type of person. And it just creates exactly what you said. It creates a community mm-hmm. of homeowners thrilled and excited about revitalizing their street or their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So those 70 homeowners have probably an energy to them that will spread.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely right. And
yeah.
if you think about it, and we have these teams for this matching money that I talked about, and the kind of unexpected benefit of that we have found is now they, number one, know one another.
Yeah.
They're borrowing tools from one another.
Mm-hmm.
They're sharing contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, they're just getting to know their neighbor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
There's a lot of benefits of being homeowners and working together
yeah.
to build your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so I'm thrilled that
yeah.
you had a new homeowner in one of the
Absolutely.
Neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And several of our lenders here in town have jumped on that program, and several of them know it well and have
mm-hmm.
done several homes. And so we will put some links in our show notes for everyone in case you have more questions about that, so that you can contact the right people
yeah.
and get more information.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Richard, in terms of leadership, you've kind of done it all, right? You've sat on city council. Springfieldian of the year in 2024.
Yeah. Believe it or not. I tell you what, when it was a surprise that night, and I told you about my misdirection in high school,
mm-hmm.
and if I said if when I was 17 if I would have ever imagined that I'd be up on this stage tonight accepting this award. It would have, I would have told you you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so it just goes to show that where you start doesn't have to be where you end.
100%. And that's a good lesson for everyone.
It
truly
really is.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you come from. You can achieve whatever.
There you go.
And I'm sure Springfielding End of the Year was not your ultimate goal, but a great award.
What
and
an honor.
Yeah, I just am curious. You look back over your years in leadership. What stands out to you in general about maybe a mentor you had or somebody? You said the Navy made a big difference in your life, but when you came back from the Navy and you started in the family business, is there a time that you that stands out in your mind in terms of your leadership journey?
You know, I told this story actually last year when I wrapped my year of being Springfielding up, and I will condense it a lot.
Uh-huh.
I had this neighbor when I graduated from college. I bought a little home on Normal Street just south of the university. Mm-hmm. Right, and it was a first time home, and but it needed work, and I didn't really know what I was doing. I knew how to paint and that kind of thing. There's this older guy up the street his name was Bruce Howard, and he was an engineer, and he had tools, and of course he had this engineering mind, right? So mm-hmm. he would come up and he'd ask me, he's like, "Hey, are you gonna like primer that before you paint that?" And I'm like, "Well, do I need to?" And he'd say, "Why don't you come down to my house?" And so anyway, he helped me, right? Mm-hmm. Basically renovate this house. Yeah. He would map out the tools I needed, what I needed to do, et cetera. So then he comes up to me one day and he says, "Hey, look, SMS at the time, mm-hmm. Southwest, is encroaching into our neighborhood. They're building parking lots. I think they're going to start building buildings." And he said, "You know, we need to form a neighborhood association so we can talk with them and just find out what their plan is and how we can either work with them or whatever," right? So I said, "You know, that sounds good, Bruce. Of course, I've newly graduated." And he said, "I tell you what," he said, "I'm an engineer. I love to do all the behind the scenes thing. But we need somebody to be out front talking to members of city council, talking to the university, et cetera." And I said, "You're probably right." He said, "I want that person to be you." I'm like, "Me? Bruce, I just graduated from college." But he coaxed me in mm-hmm. to doing that. I became president of Phelps Neighborhood Association. Mm-hmm. It was a brand new name. We formed it.
Yeah.
Bruce did, not me. Okay. Bruce did.
Yeah.
And then he put me out front.
Mm-hmm.
And he would literally, I would go down to his house. He would map it all out, just like he did renovating my house. So what I said last year, and I say again, is we all need to be Bruce Howard.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to help a young person find their potential.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was calling the mayor and members of city council and the president of the university as a 20-something and sitting down at the table with them and negotiating and talking about how our neighborhood was going to work with that. The outcome of that was the university decided it was going to move into downtown versus south in the mm-hmm. Phelps Neighborhood Association.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I'm all I'm trying to communicate is I did not see that in me,
mm-hmm.
But Bruce did.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce also had all the other tools and resources to help
mm-hmm.
me be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I start looking back and kind of thinking about legacy and that kind mm-hmm. of thing, I hope I can be a Bruce Howard for one, two, or three
mm-hmm.
people.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome.
That's what I'd say.
That's awesome. You know, and I think one thing I want to pull out of that is a great story, but Bruce could have said, "Hey, Richard, go do this. I think you can do this." But he helped you. He had the tools to help you. He mm-hmm. didn't just let you off on your own. He didn't encourage you and then just let you go. He was behind you. He helped you along the way.
And I remember this like it was yesterday. Again, he was an engineer. He had a mechanical pencil and this graph paper. And I would go down to his house. I'm at least once a week, if not two or three times a week. Mm-hmm. And he literally would map things out. When I had to call people on city council, right, so we could get their support, right, he wrote the script. Then we practice it.
Wow.
And so that, to your point,
yeah,
it's more than just about saying you can do it. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. here. Let me help
guidance.
You.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And our biggest job as a leader is to find the new leaders that are going to come up behind us and to foster them. And mm-hmm. just like you said, to show them how it's done and explain to them what they can do, because they don't know, especially if they're a newer leader. Mm-hmm. So you're the prime example of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that's a story, but it's a real life story that set me on my path of community mm-hmm. involvement. Mm-hmm. I mean, without that, maybe I'd have been involved in, you know, a club or two or mm-hmm. something yeah. like that, yeah. but I would yeah. never
yeah.
have done what I have been able to do without Bruce Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And what a gift to learn to be comfortable with the mayor and the president of mm-hmm. SMS mm-hmm. in your 20s.
Yeah.
I mean, oftentimes those opportunities don't come to us until we have a little more wisdom mm-hmm. in maybe our 40s if we're lucky, yeah. right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So when we were rehearsing these phone calls, Bruce was saying, you know, Richard, you need to sound like you're somebody important. He said, now I want you to redo this, and I want you to sound like you're somebody important. And so I would, to your point, I would get over there in front of city council or whatever, and they'd say, where's Richard Hollis? I'm like, well, I'm Richard Hollis. They said, well, I expected somebody older.
Right. And what a compliment
yeah,
at the time.
Yeah,
I
mean, but exactly. Bruce,
the guy on the phone sounds like a 40-year-old, right. But he's 20. That's a great story.
That's great. That's great. Well, thank you, Richard. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your leadership in Springfield,
yes.
because and coming home, you know, I think one thing that we talk about a lot, and I go to a lot of meetings, and there's a lot of conversation about, we need to keep our young people here. We need them to go to school here and reinvest in their community so that they can be Springfieldian of the year 1 year. And it's something we understand the draw of other places, and it's great to go out and see the world, but we need to keep people here too.
No question about it. And I just wrap up with again, a reiteration of, we all just need to be a Bruce Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get a young person involved like he did me, mm-hmm. right,
mm-hmm.
that will naturally lend to more people staying here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
Thank you,
Richard.
So much.
We appreciate
you so much. Yeah, and thank you for listening. And we hope that you'll share this episode with anyone who needs to know about insurance or Restore SGF.
Yes.
We've got lots of things that we covered here today.
We did, yes. And we want to thank our sponsors, Great American Title, and of course, Gershman Mortgage, for recording with us. So we will catch you guys on the next episode.
See you then.
Find today's full video by searching the Simply Authentic Podcast on YouTube. Hit subscribe, and there you will find full videos of every episode.